This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Of course, we had no program planned for today, but due to the Pac-12 tournament cancellation, gives us an opportunity to play back the remarks this morning from Oregon Governor Kate Brown.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We find ourselves in an unprecedented public health crisis, a rapidly evolving global pandemic. Most of us have never experienced anything like this. What is clear today is that we must take immediate action to stem the spread of COVID-19 coronavirus in our communities. Our strategy now in Oregon is shifting away from one of containing isolated cases of COVID-19. Now we are focused on preventing the worst impacts of a mass outbreak from coming to pass. We must act now to protect those who are most vulnerable, our elderly, those with underlying health conditions. We need to focus on keeping them safe by ensuring that our healthcare system has the capacity to treat those hardest hit by the disease. Earlier this week, the Centers for Disease Control issued updated guidance. They gave recommendations on large gatherings, social distancing, workplace practices, and other community-wide mitigation efforts that can help slow the transmission of the virus. Throughout this crisis, my office has been consulting with the Oregon Health Authority, local public health, and other state and local agencies on the best policies to slow the spread of COVID-19. Yesterday, we announced a variety of steps for Oregonians to take to decrease risks and protect each other. The following measures are based on the recommendations of the CDC, Oregon public health experts, epidemiologists, and health professionals to prevent a widespread outbreak of COVID-19. Effective immediately, all large gatherings in the state of Oregon, over 250 people, will be canceled for 4 weeks until April 8th. We have also issued numerous other guidelines for events to keep attendees safe. I want to clarify that this guidance applies to organized events, but does not apply to other places where other large numbers of people gather, such as stores, shopping centers, or schools. Building on the school guidance my administration released earlier this week, that all schools stay open, we are adding guidelines that virtually all school group activities and gatherings should be canceled, including field trips, parent meetings, and competitions. These measures have been recommended by public health experts. Considerations of school closures will be a last resort. Using CDC guidelines as a base, we have issued detailed recommendations for workplaces to immediately implement social distancing measures to protect employees. That includes increased physical space, limited travel and in-person meetings, and staggered work schedules. Long-term care and assisted living facilities should strictly adhere to the guidance issued by the Oregon Health Authority and Department of Human Services earlier this week to protect residents. Let me be clear, coronavirus is in our communities. We should be prepared for thousands of cases in Oregon. These actions I'm taking today have two main goals: to slow the transmission of the disease and to preserve hospital capacity for those who will need it the most. My first order of business is to protect the health of Oregonians. My second order, to secure their jobs. I will be pulling together a group of business representatives to devise a plan for how businesses, especially our small businesses, will ride this out. Make no mistake, these efforts to fight coronavirus will have an impact on our daily lives, our livelihoods, and Oregon's economy. It will be especially difficult for Oregonians without the means to miss work or self-quarantine if necessary. But these steps can help save lives. That is what is at stake. This disease does not discriminate. We are all facing this together. My commitment to you today is that I will do everything in my power to keep Oregon families healthy and safe. I'll now turn it over to Chair Kefouri. She's been a fantastic partner in this work, and I appreciate her close collaboration.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning. Yesterday, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic. But as all of us know, disasters are local. So I need you to know that even before this new coronavirus was named, or barely in the United States, Multnomah County stood up our emergency operations response. We knew that we had to test, track, report, and support the people who will be touched by this virus, because we know our community. We're beside them as they look for work, celebrate recovery, start a family, or get their first library card. And we're there when the crisis hits. We know that the metro area is particularly vulnerable to a virus that feeds on people coming together. Because people come together here, we have the restaurants, the clubs, the concert halls, and we have the largest and the most popular venues. We have the largest airport and the Port of Portland. We also have the largest number of unsheltered people in the state, the largest number of shelters in the state. And we know that these neighbors are particularly at risk because they are older and sicker than the rest of the population. So we've been running hard to respond. When called upon by OHA, we launched a drive-through testing clinic like they did in South Korea to quickly and safely test those who were prospective cases. We have tracked dozens of contacts, advised hundreds of callers, and met with community partners to develop reams of guidance. Over the past month, more than 100 Multnomah County employees and subject matter experts have taken shifts in our Emergency Operations Center. And that was all before we had a single case. On Tuesday, we had our first presumed positive test result in Multnomah County. And on Wednesday, I declared a state of emergency. Multnomah County's declaration of emergency gives us the flexibility to sustain what we're doing now and face what may come in this unprecedented outbreak. What we're doing now is regularly convening and advising providers and residents of every manner of shelter. Outreach workers are fanning out, getting necessary supplies to our neighbors on the street, blankets, tarps, hygiene supplies, and information cards with guidance. And we're keeping our winter shelter beds open and increasing motel vouchers to limit overcrowding. Together, Mayor Ted Wheeler and I have committed additional resources to keep as many people as healthy as possible for as long as possible. But we can't protect our community without the partnership of our stakeholders. I want to specifically thank the more than 150 school superintendents, directors of nonprofits, businesses, the arts, hospitality, and many more who joined community listening sessions with myself and Dr. Jennifer Vines yesterday. Hard to believe that that was only yesterday. That input and engagement is incredibly valuable. We also cannot be successful without our partnership with Washington and Clackamas counties and the state of Oregon. The actions that the governor described today are our best chance to do what Dr. Vines calls flattening the curve, slowing the rate at which people are exposed and potentially become ill. Because we know that a surge of cases could quickly overwhelm even our extremely capable health partners. Governor Brown has given us a roadmap to navigate this unknown landscape and help us know how, in the weeks ahead, we can connect in different ways. And like leaders in many organizations, I'll be trying to figure out how to get vital work done, to keep our clinics open, to keep serving veterans and older adults, and to still be Multnomah County in the face of such a threat. Thank you, And now I'd like to welcome, first I would like to call out some of our partners that are here today. We have Dr. Sharon Myron, Sushila Jayapal, Senator Lou Frederick, Commissioner Jessica Vega Peterson, Commissioner Lori Stegman, Mayor Shane Bemis, the Superintendent Guadalupe Guillermo, and Governor. Thank you.
Thank you, and I want to thank Governor Brown and Chair Kifori for their leadership during this time. After much thought and consideration and discussions with our county and state partners, this morning I declared a state of emergency on behalf of the City of Portland. This is a decision I don't take lightly, given the broad implications. But due to COVID-19's progression on the West Coast, I believe that it's in the best interest of public health to declare a state of emergency at this time. It gives the city additional authority to properly address the threat of infection and harm. It also gives us the tools that we need to support the county, the state, and our own city employees. I know you have a lot of questions on how we plan on exercising these emergency powers. We'll keep you posted on that, but for now, we begin with the activation of the state of emergency to give us flexibility to act on those emergency powers if and when it's necessary. Here's what else the City of Portland is doing so far. The Water Bureau and our Bureau of Environmental Services have suspended service disconnections during the state of emergency. That means they will not shut off water due to the non-payment of bills related to sewer, stormwater, or water bills. The city has decided to do this to ensure that everyone has access to the utilities they need to stay healthy and not worry for the time being if they're going through a financial hardship. We've also expanded community hygiene stations and portable toilets with hand washing stations across the city, and those efforts will be expanded. We're assisting shelter providers to keep winter shelters open on an extended basis, in addition to getting outreach providers more assistance and equipment, as well as increased motel vouchers for those who need it. On the economic front, we're working to help our small and large employers alike recoup losses from canceled events and loss of business and find additional financial support. I've also directed a team at the city to generate ideas for a stimulus package and will work with Prosper Portland to convene a COVID-19 economic impact task force to analyze other ways that we can be of help. We're also aggressively protecting the thousands of city employees and our visitors by postponing or canceling non-essential work gatherings, encouraging teleconferencing instead, stopping non-essential travel for meetings or conferences, and encouraging vulnerable employees to stay home for as long as they need to. So to wrap this up, COVID-19 has been jarring for every one of us, globally, nationally, and locally. The negative health, economic, and social impacts are and will continue to be significant. Nonprofits have already had to cancel their yearly fundraisers and therefore are struggling. Arts and cultural institutions in our community will be severely impacted. Small and large employers are already developing contingency plans. People are at risk of being laid off. I share this to tell you that we see, we hear, and we understand the anxiety and fears that people are expressing. But at a time when it is tempting to act out in a state of panic or fear, I want to say this loud and clear. All of us here, from the state to the region to the county to the city, we're working around the clock to make sure that your health and your safety are protected. That is our number one priority. We're making every decision with that priority in mind. Thousands of public servants are working tirelessly on this one purpose. You know this well. This is a rapidly changing pandemic. We will be frequently updating you as information becomes available. Portlanders have always looked out for each other, but now I'm asking you, particularly at this time, to help your neighbors who might need help. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor Wheeler. As we've seen, as this global pandemic has evolved across the world, this virus does not discriminate. While we have 19 people who've tested positive in Oregon, we know that is just the tip of the iceberg, and there are likely hundreds more throughout our state. So I think we have to remember our thoughts need to go out to those individuals, their families and friends and communities, as they recover. They need our support. They don't need stigma or misinformation to help them get better. So while we only have 19 people in Oregon who've tested positive for the virus that causes COVID-19, in looking at estimates from Washington and where Oregon is in our epidemic compared to our neighbors to the north, we estimate there could be 150 to 250 cases right now in Oregon. If we take projections from Washington infectious disease researchers and estimate a doubling of cases every week, which may be conservative, this could mean over 75,000 cases by mid-May in the state of Oregon without taking action. And so that's why our state and local officials are taking aggressive action today on social distancing. With the evolution of this outbreak, new guidance, looking at the estimates of what could happen here in Oregon, these measures are being taken so that we can build upon the individual measures we've asked people to take, including washing their hands, covering their coughs and sneezes, and staying home while they're ill, to put in measures that are more aggressive, that mandate the canceling of large events of 250 or more, look at those events that draw vulnerable populations, our older adults and those with underlying conditions of 10 or more, and canceling, working with our business communities, work sites, so that they can separate their employees and their customers to offer safety to everyone around them, working with schools to do what we can to assure that our students and school communities are safe while we try to keep schools open, because we know that education is incredibly important for students and the social connections at school. Certainly there's a tool for canceling schools as we look at the evolution of this epidemic, but we want to ensure that students and their families have access to this education, that parents can still go to school if they have essential jobs in healthcare and law enforcement and others. And so we don't take these steps lightly. We continue to look at the research and the effects of what we're doing every day so that we can see what do we need to do to help slow the spread of this disease in Oregon, protect Oregonians, and make sure that everyone has access to the high quality care that we offer here throughout the state. I'd now like to turn it over to one of my colleagues who's been arm in arm with us here working on this outbreak, Dr. Jennifer Vines.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Dr. Jennifer Vines. I'm the Multnomah County Health Officer, and I'm also the lead health officer for Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington counties. I want to acknowledge that this situation has moved at warp speed, and public health has been keeping up as best we can, understanding that lives are on the line, and so are livelihoods. As we think about a virus coming through our community, it's already here. There is nobody immune to this virus. There is no vaccine. There is no treatment. The majority of us will suffer a mild illness. For those people, we ask you to stay home and not seek health care if you wouldn't otherwise. But some of us, in particular, are elderly. People with underlying medical conditions are the ones we know are at risk of severe illness and potentially needing life-saving intervention at the hospital level. To the best of our knowledge and with the toolkit that we have in public health, the strategy of social distancing is one tool that we have, and I have no illusions about the bitter pill this is to swallow for our communities. You hear public health saying education is important, business opportunities are important, social connections are important. And unfortunately, we have to look ahead at what's happening in Washington and Italy, and we have to use the public health tool of social distancing as the best way, in our opinion, to try to slow the spread of this virus through our community, spread out those severe and critical cases so they can get the health care they need when they need it. You will see your local public health authorities shifting in strategy from focusing on individual cases and detailed contact investigations and follow-up. You will see us shifting now to supporting our health systems, to supporting our communities on what these social distancing measures mean for them. And you'll see us trying to do high-level health systems coordination to keep those services running. So again, I would call on all of us, let's tap into the creative energy and the spirit of community that I know is in our region. Please be creative with alternative ways of coming together. Please look at our guidance, take it to heart, and by all means, keep in touch with your elected officials who care deeply about this situation and about the impacts on our community. Thank you.
So now we'd be happy to take questions. Just a quick reminder, we have hundreds of people who are viewing this through live stream. So in addition to your colleagues in the media, there are many concerned Oregon residents who are also viewing this. So what I'd like to ask you to do is to please introduce yourself, identify the outlet you're with, and direct a question to one of our local officials or health experts. And then I would like to ask the individual who's going to respond to the question to repeat the question so the people who are viewing this through live stream can hear the question.
And we're going to stop right now. There are coverage of this morning's press conference. Governor Kate Brown and other public health officials from around Oregon and the Portland area in particular about the state guidelines for dealing with the COVID-19 virus situation. Whether you agree with their moves, their decisions, or not, you've gotten to hear it from their own mouths themselves. 1257 on Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Yeah.